Bonsoir, Brendan.
Hello, Alan. It's
We're
Throwback Thursday.
Yes, we're recording the Not a Thing podcast on a Thursday. It's episode 121. I'm still kind of reeling
121.
from the 120 from last week. That was a good show, A, and 120, it's I don't know, that seems
It's
like
a
a
big number.
bigger I don't know if it's a bigger number than 100. I mean, I guess mathematically it
No,
is.
yeah, it's a bigger number than 100. Maybe not just symbolically larger, but mathematically definitely larger.
Yeah. Math is a thing. Or at
As much
least.
as I wish it wasn't.
Well, let's get back into the flow of the show like we normally would. Amazingly enough, we're starting off another week with what's become a perennial favorite around the show, Fuck the Police. This was not just something that we say. Apparently, it's caught on to the world at large. Can you believe
Well,
it?
wait. We did not start that phrase,
Oh,
Alan.
we didn't?
No. I think some other people deserve some credit for that,
Oh, that.
probably.
Okay. All right. Well, we can credit them. If anyone wants to let us know on the Not a Thing podcast webpage, tweet at us, however you have to do it. But what happened was in I believe it was Atlanta, Georgia, a woman who was bicycling past the police station during, I think it was an interview or some other kind of event that was happening. And she shouted "Fuck the police," and like flipped off some cops as she was bicycling past, and the cops arrested her for I forget what it was. It was like,
Disorderly conduct.
yeah, disorderly conduct, held her in jail for some amount of time, put her in essentially solitary confinement for a period of that time. And a suit was brought for wrongful imprisonment, and the police settled out of court in order to essentially get it out of the way. And they settled for $100,000. I mean, it comes up as wrongful imprisonment. I mean, the judge initially was like, "This isn't really a case because there's no, I mean, just stifling someone from saying things, that's it's kind of free speech kinds of issues that are involved and all sorts of stuff."
I think that's actually what the settlement was for, violation of free speech. So, yeah, you can say what you want as long as you're not threatening somebody directly.
So, I think the Not a Thing podcast has a new business model that we can advocate now. We'll see. I don't know. If this sponsorship stuff doesn't, pan out, we can always, yell stuff in front of police stations.
Maybe if we keep doing this segment, some gentleman with attitude will sponsor us.
We'll see. We'll see. It's I think there's an interesting line to be drawn there, because I think it is kind of I don't know. I wouldn't say, I don't know. Disorderly conduct is so vague. It's so hard to kind of pin that down. I could see, like, I don't know if I would yell that in front of kids, in front of a cop.
Yeah, but it's still your First Amendment right to do that. That's just a matter of decorum.
Yeah.
That's like, rudeness is not illegal.
Right.
If it
Good
was, our
point.
prisons would be even o more overfilled than they currently are. Let's just trade out all the nonviolent drug offenders for assholes, and then I'd be okay with overcrowded prisons.
Somehow that actually seems okay.
Even if you did it at a ratio like 2 to 1, two nonviolent offenders out, one asshole in.
Right. Right. Where is the asshole law? Where do those start, like, getting passed? We should write your congressman about that one, folks.
We'll... That seems like more of a Victorian London thing.
Well, in Victorian London, you know, the proper kind of answer would be, you know, stiff upper lip. So it would happen, but you would just kind of ignore it because you were above it.
Hmm.
You can't win. You can't win. But maybe you can win. We did get some interesting news from the federal government, I guess, has passed as part of a kind of huge spending and appropriations bill. There was a provision quietly in this huge, huge bill that talks about federal spending and law enforcement and different things. And one of the provisions specifically makes it legal to, or rather makes it not illegal to have marijuana for medical purposes, essentially removing the federal stigma of medical marijuana, which was always kind of an unspoken thing that even though marijuana has been decriminalized in a lot of states and even made legal for recreational use in a bunch of places, including Washington, D.C., of all places, the federal government still has a provision classifying marijuana as a Schedule A narcotic, I think, which is narcotic that has zero medical or any kind of positive use. So it's essentially absolutely bad.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, like super duper bad. But now that provision has essentially been lifted, and...
Well, it's now federal government will fall within the guidelines set up by the states themselves.
Right.
So if a state has legal medical marijuana, they will no longer raid those dispensaries or prosecute people.
Right.
But if it's still illegal, if you haven't legalized it in your state yet, then they'll still come after you.
Yeah, yeah. So there's still kind of some kinks to be worked out in about how that works. But it does kind of show that it's the tide is definitely turning in how that works. One of the interesting things about the article that I found was one of the bigger groups that's kind of pro legalization in this way anyway is are actually the Republicans, because it becomes, the way the law is written, it becomes a states' rights issue, which the Republicans are all about. States' rights versus federal kind of control, which I think is kind of hilarious. But, you know,
I mean, it's, I don't know, this particular spending bill and appropriation bill that they passed, it concerns me because, yay, it's nice that this got put in there,
mm-hmm.
but the way that this has become law, that's not how you should be passing laws.
Yeah.
Sneaking things into big things. Because, yeah, this got slid into this, but then you also have lifting of restrictions on campaign contributions.
Mm-hmm.
So now billionaires can donate even more money to campaigns.
Yeah.
And tearing apart parts of the Dodd-Frank Act, you know, helping control Wall Street. It's mm-hmm. it's all in there. It's like one step forward, two steps back.
Right. It's a,
or this is... hey, we're totally fucking you over, but hey, you can get high now, so don't worry about it.
Well, it is the unfortunate nature of how those bills and laws work. It's often kind of the thing where riders to laws make it through. So you can, especially now I'm reaching back for my understanding of U.S. government processes, but especially if it starts, I think, in the Senate, you can offer non-germane amendments to bills. So you can have an amendment to a bill or a rider to a bill that has nothing to do with the original bill. So, for example, a spending bill can have a provision around legalization of medical marijuana, and that's how that kind of kind of happens. Like in and of itself, it would be difficult to make that its own kind of law and thing, which is
kind of America. Circumventing the democratic process. What? No way.
Oh, I don't know. Do you really want direct participatory democracy?
I mean, ideally, I'd like a dictatorship that I rule, but I'd be a benevolent leader. I know what's best.
King Brendan is a thing. We
will 3-day weekends for everyone.
You have my vote. Not that kings need votes, but
no.
You have my vote.
No, I have divine right.
You heard it here first, folks. Don't write your congressman.
Yeah. Don't divine right. Don't write your congressman. Well, it sounds like somebody got their stuff together and wrote their congressman to get this stuff in there.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting step. We'll see again, like what that means in terms of if it changes kind of the public sentiment about marijuana, or rather maybe it's just the laws catching up with said public sentiment about marijuana.
I think that's more likely.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. I think it's still, there's kind of an interesting backlash happening in a lot of Bay Area counties anyway, specifically around marijuana. I know San Jose, recently, ordered a bunch of, dispensaries to kind of change how they operate, in order to, they've essentially like rezoned how those businesses operate in, I think partially in an attempt to curb recreational use, but then also, in theory to, kind of suppress the proliferation of dispensaries, which has happened in other counties. Like I read a stat about Los Angeles that was something like there are more dispensaries in the LA County than there are Starbucks and McDonald's. I don't know if that's still true. They may have been, a similar kind of rezoning and law structure in order to kind of curb that. But that does seem like a lot. But I feel like it isn't really that high in San Jose, but there are, you know, the number of dispensaries, I don't know. I guess I just don't see them despite how everywhere they are.
They're very well hidden.
The little green,
it's one of those things where if you're not looking for it, you don't see it.
Yeah.
But as soon as you do, then they're everywhere.
Well, again, California is still a medical marijuana state only. They've not completely decriminalized it for recreational use. But we'll see if this changes kind of how it works. I still think, if Colorado keeps producing the revenue numbers that it has been, it will make a lot more sense to state and local governments to kind of work with the community in a different way. We'll see. Smoke them if you got them. An interesting kind of thing is hopefully happening sometime soon in a different field. This is stuff being announced by our favorite Iron Man, Elon Musk. The SpaceX company is going to do a test launch of the Falcon 9 rocket, which is the delivery vehicle for the Dragon space capsule, which we've talked about a bunch on the show. I think we've even talked about the Falcon 9 rocket in that it's a reusable rocket. So this is the equivalent of the kind of booster rocket stages, the first and second stages that would get a space capsule into orbit. Instead of being jettisoned and then falling to Earth and hopefully burning up in the atmosphere and not becoming horribly destructive flaming debris, you know, moving at many times the speed of sound into into things. Instead of doing that, it would descend in kind of a controlled fashion and land and be reusable. So the only thing that you're losing on the way kind of up and down would be the fuel, which is kind of a big deal. I mean, considering how huge those rockets are and how much they're essentially single use, right? So it's kind of a big deal. But one of the tests that they're going to do, and it was announced for this Friday, although I'm not sure if the timing is still kind of accurate, but one of the tests they're going to do is they're going to launch the rocket, and then it will kind of drift back down, and they're going to try and land it within a, I think it's a 100 by 300 foot barge. It's going to be floating on the water, and it's going to, in a controlled fashion, you know, decelerate and then land on this platform. It's pretty cool. I mean, I think in the demo video, they have it go up like 100 feet, push like, you know, a few hundred feet kind of right to the right, and then come straight down. And so this will be interesting because it will actually get a lot higher in the air before coming back down. And it's also trying to land in a pretty, I mean, a relatively small target. The article that we found said they have the odds at it being successful at a whopping 50%. So I think in either case, it would be a spectacular thing to watch. So I'm hoping it's on and streamable. As far as I know, it's completely unmanned. So that's good, especially if it works out in the 50% where it fails. That's probably not wonderful. But
well, if it fails, it just goes in the ocean.
I mean, 50%. What could go wrong there? 50%. You know,
50% is much better odds than the 0% we currently have with rocket technology. So, you know, if every now and then you get an extra rocket, sweet. You just save some time and money.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a really eerie kind of thing to watch on the video. It's hard to get the sense of scale for how big, you know, the launch vehicle is and everything, but the way that it kind of, you know, rights itself and then slowly comes down and lands, it looks kind of creepy, just strange, because you don't see rockets that do that. I mean, it's shaped like a traditional kind of, you know, space rocket. So it's very, very tall, and it has really tiny fins that are, I guess, for stabilization on its way up. But then on its way down, it doesn't use those fins at all. So it's using these tiny jets to kind of, you know, make sure that the angles are all right. But you don't really see, you know, plumes of jet and smoke and everything. It's just kind of quietly coming down, and it's eerie and very cool. We'll link the story, and there's a video of it of the smaller scale test where it kind of goes up and then comes back down. This is kind of cool stuff. It's you know, one more step into getting folks into space, and we're still big fans of space exploration and travel. Is a thing. We're looking forward to it. There was also some news this week about something else we talked about from Elon Musk, the Hyperloop. It looks like there's a group that is, I think it's at Caltech. I'll have to look up the article, but they're going to build a small scale prototype of the Hyperloop, which, if you don't remember us talking about, it's a vacuum sealed tube of that also uses magnetic levitation to create essentially frictionless travel method to get from point A to point B. The last estimate I saw was it could go from San Francisco to LA in 35 minutes or some ridiculous thing like that. Just so fast. Sounds neat. It'll be interesting to see if more comes from that. We're just big fans of Elon Musk.
Maybe Tony Stark, we salute you.
Maybe you know, we can get Tesla to underwrite a podcast or two, or donate a car to the cause, you know?
Yeah, we'll review it. And we'll be totally biased. We don't care. We'll take a car. If I'm willing to say the Earth is flat, I'm definitely willing to say your car is awesome.
Especially since, you know, we already kind of think so. So it wouldn't be that much of a stretch.
Yeah. I'd feel much more comfortable saying that.
Right. Especially if we had a, you know, podcast car. We could even wrap it with Not a Thing podcast logo. Would that be a thing? Do people still wrap vehicles in order to get like discounts on things?
I don't think they want us to wrap my 1995 Mercury Mystique
with the Tesla logo on it.
Yeah, it's like a Tesla. Like a Tesla.
Right. Well, completely unlike a Tesla is some stuff that we found. I think we both independently found this article, which is kind of cool, kind of scary, kind of awesome. It's about the DARPA project called EXACTO, which stands for Extreme Accuracy Tasked Ordnance, which is kind of a fun name, but it really just means a bullet that can change its direction in mid-flight. And the degree
it's
that
a magic
it can,
bullet.
Yeah, the degree that it can change its direction is really surprising. And they have a very short video, which if you blink, you will miss it. It is very fast. But the video is someone, I guess, I don't know if it's the person operating the gun or a spotter, is training a laser on a target. And then they point the gun at, you know, essentially, it's really hard to tell, like, what the size or the sizes and distances involved, but they point it maybe, you know, a little bit off to one side where, you know, from where the target is, and then they show the path of the bullet as it goes through the air. They must have put like a tracer round on it or something. And when you watch it in the video, it not only changes direction to kind of hit the target that it's supposed to, it looks like it's not even doing it in like one motion. It looks like it's kind of adjusting multiple times in midair as it's flying to the target. It's not a straight line. It's not a curve. It's this kind of multi-turning curve thing, which it's wild. Apparently, they do this with a 50 caliber bullet, which is very big.
50 caliber bullet is best bullet.
It's a 50 caliber means it's a half an inch wide. And then I don't know how long the bullet is, but it has enough to have a sensor to find that laser target point. And then
I think it's 4 inches.
God, that's huge. And then avionics that can control where the bullet is going and adjust it in mid-flight. And I think one of the reasons it's not kind of a smooth curve to the target is because the bullet is probably spinning in order to be ballistic. And so when the adjustments are being made, it's doing the adjustments in addition to a bullet that's spinning. Oh, it's crazy.
We could be looking at the development of the bullet that a future time traveler will use to kill Kennedy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The magic bullet is real.
Yeah, it is really magic. I mean, the article I think explains it a lot better than the video is able to demonstrate in its like 10-second runtime. But there are a couple kind of shots of these bullets, and they're, you know, like we were saying, they're not tiny bullets. These are big bullets. What's interesting in the article is, I want to say it refers to these bullets as small arms weapons or small arms ammunition. And if 50 cal by 4 inches is considered small, I don't think I want to be around like big arms.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's small arms, it's handheld. It's, I mean, they're talking about in comparison to like deck guns on a battleship.
Okay. All right.
I think that's why they call it small arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. They had, within the article, they talked about the current world record for longest certified kill by a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
1.54 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long way. And now we're developing the technology, and that's on the stationary target.
Right.
This is now developing technology that could do that to a moving target.
Right.
Oh. Keep this weapon in human hands.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just ignore that cameras can already do, like, facial detection and stuff like that and follow kind of targets automatically. It seems... This is going back to that thing we were talking about on last week's show. Keep the AI out of this kind of stuff a little bit. Let's keep kind of the at least the targeting kind of human centered, human power.
I think that's going to be one of my goals for our Bakhtun in review episode, is to trace the what confluence of articles that we've discussed this year will bring about the end of humanity. It's like, if you combine this with this and this, we're all dead.
Well, on to a slightly nicer topic. <it's, laughs> If we're all marching to an imminent doom by the robots, at least we can make our food taste good in the meantime. Some researchers have found some things out about taste, which are kind of interesting because I think it's common knowledge that taste is influenced a lot by smell. There was that thing that everyone did, right? Where you hold your nose and then you bite an apple and then you bite a potato and they taste the same because you can't smell them, but the texture's the same. I never quite got that because potatoes taste awful, right?
So yeah, I skipped that one.
But it's showing that, you know, your sense of smell does influence your taste quite a bit, like how a thing smells can kind of amp up the flavor. So if you're sick, like, and your nose is stuffed, things taste kind of bland. And I think that's more of a common kind of understanding of how that works. But what researchers have found out is that not only does smell affect your taste, but what you hear can affect your taste as well. And they were noticing that certain... and it's not necessarily music, although that was... kind of one of the initial kind of patterns for what they were trying to accomplish a link. What they noticed was different pitches can affect different or amp up different taste buds. So higher pitches tend to increase the like the sweetness of a thing, where lower pitches increase the savoriness of a thing. And that they also tried to establish a link between, like, cuisine and specifically ethnic cuisine, and then the music of that region, which I think is a little, I don't know, it's a little subjective only because of the wideness of the range of music that can come from a place. I mean, you can have...
Well, they also did it with sound. So, like, if you were eating oysters, they tasted saltier if you heard the ocean.
Right, right. So this is something that the article talks about as people identifying as synesthesia, which I've always found really fascinating. Like these are the people that can supposedly taste colors and things like that. It's like a mix of
you're talking about senses. People on acid.
they can see the music. Exactly, right.
The schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
There are a number of people that have that kind of cross-linking where different senses are experienced in kind of crossed wires with other senses. And that a lot of interesting musical artists have had that kind of effect. But what this research is showing that even kind of just regular old folk have kind of some cross-linkages between senses. And it sounds fun. It'd be a fun experiment to listen to different music while eating food.
Well, we're having dinner tomorrow night. Maybe I'll put together a playlist.
Right. It that's a thing. Playlists for dinner, I think, is a thing.
But it's just going to be noises.
White noise and food. It'll be interesting to see what that pairing is. See, you have to worry about all these pairings, right? You have food and drink, and then you have food and music now, and all this stuff. There's it makes dinner party planning so difficult.
It's all part of crafting an experience, Alan.
Well, an experience that we may never get to have that was crafted by the folks at Sony Pictures is getting kind of put aside for a little bit. I'm sure folks have heard, because I think we've talked about it, the movie The Interview about it's the Seth Rogen, James Franco movie that they supposedly... It's a producer and interviewer that are going to go interview Kim Jong-un, and they're approached by the CIA to make them into assassins. And this became kind of controversial because there was some, you know, there was some overtures from North Korea saying, oh, well, that's kind of preposterous and probably a real thing. And
and also they said it was an act of war.
Yeah. I feel like they say a lot of things are an act of war, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, we talked about it a few weeks ago. There was a pretty good-sized hack attack at Sony, and there's still kind of confusion over who is specifically responsible. I know... There was talk that it might have been an inside job from people who were disgruntled employees, but there was a North Korean hacking group that blamed it on specifically the movie The Interview and how it was portraying, you know, the great leader of North Korea, and Sony was hacked, lost a lot of data. There were some movies that were released you know, prematurely through that. And this week, a bunch of emails went out, supposedly from that same group, claiming that when The Interview comes out in theaters, there would be more things that were happening. And it was compared to September 11, which is, I guess, still a big enough deal, because what happened this week was a bunch of theater chains decided to pull the movie and not release it on, I think it was going to come out on Christmas Day.
Yeah, it's Christmas Day. And they were given the option by Sony. They said, you know, if you don't want to show it, you don't have to show it. And then the five largest chains in the country said, we're not showing it.
Yeah.
And then within a few hours, Sony said, we're not even going to put it out.
Yeah. Yeah,
which so they totally capitulated to internet terrorism.
100% not a thing.
No.
Yeah.
You know that you've done something stupid when Rob Lowe is comparing you to Neville Chamberlain.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really super sad, and I think a lot of it is the fact that Sony, as a company, is a Japanese company, and Japan is legitimately not that far from North Korea. It's in it, it if the last missile test is to be believed, it's within the range of missiles from North Korea. Not that I think North Korea would shoot missiles at Japan over a movie, but I guess for them to feel safe in some way, they decided to at least announce that that's, you know, they're going to, you know, not release it as a movie, which is super ridiculous. I think it's kind of
it's a bad day for art, and it's as much as a Seth Rogen, James Franco movie is art.
Yeah.
It still counts. It's well, a bad day for art. It's a bad day for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not wrong move.
Yeah. It's a super bad precedent to set on a lot of levels. Yeah.
And for that threat to go out on the internet and then there not to be any credible evidence found by federal agencies.
Right.
And they still did it.
Yeah.
So now anyone can write whatever they want on the internet and movie companies are going to start pulling movies.
Yeah. It wasn't listed as a credible threat according to a bunch of federal agencies. It was just like, whatever, this is something that someone puts out on the internet, and it's apparently enough for the Sony CEO to actually get involved in what's happening at the movie distribution level. I mean, Sony is a big company. It's not you know, on all of the, you know, buses and TVs and everything, you know, because they don't make like a couple things. This is Sony, like the Sony parent company CEO interceded and said, yeah, we're not going to release it.
And then after that was pulled, the great chain of movie theaters in Texas, the Alamo Drafthouse,
mm-hmm.
announced they were going to show, instead of The Interview, they were going to show Team America World Police. And then Paramount wussed out and won't let them show it.
Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're going to do a 10-year anniversary showing of Team America. And now that was also stopped.
Oh.
So I am going to, and I advocate that everyone else out there watches Team America World Police and maybe make it a double feature with like Pineapple Express or something.
Yeah. If I mean, and I've seen this in a couple places, if that is Sony doesn't, or rather the movie doesn't somehow get quote unquote released anyway, ahead of that, I've seen in two different articles that there have been enough people that have had access to the movie for pre-release copies or whatever. It's very likely that it would get leaked anyway, and especially in the because of how you know poorly the movie's been treated and how we're going to, you know, essentially stifle it as a monetary vehicle. I mean, it almost, someone is going to release this movie, you know, sanctioned by Sony or not.
They may still release it officially as like a video on demand or straight to DVD or something.
Yeah. I mean, currently they have no plans, or they've not announced plans to do that. I did see an article, and I think it was on Grantland, it was an opinion piece saying that Sony should absolutely release it as a video on demand thing, not because it gets it out there and they want to make money on it, but actually from a data gathering perspective, because by not releasing it to theaters, you are suppressing it. But I think releasing it on demand would actually give video on demand a fair shake at or to see, you know, the capabilities of that and see if there is actual enough interest for people to want to use that as a medium for kind of bigger movies. There's a lot of stuff that's released video on demand, but they tend to be kind of smaller movies, smaller films, indie things. This is not an indie budget. This is a you know, legitimately big budget film. And to go directly to video on demand, A, it would mean that Sony would make money, so good for them. B, they would get the movie out there, which I'm sure all of the creators of the movie would like. And then C, they would get all of the buzz from releasing a movie directly to video on demand that I think there is a legitimate audience for. There's enough of an audience that that genuinely wants to see the movie. And they could, you know, it could be a precedent for that. And I think exploring the different delivery models of TV and movies has been kind of an ongoing theme for the show. So that's I don't know. That's a thing. I think it's a good idea. We'll see.
Not capitulating to online threats is a thing. Appeasement is not a thing.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
If you do that too much, you'll end up becoming a reference point culturally, like Neville Chamberlain. How bad did that guy screw up that he is now the benchmark that everyone else is measured against? Well, I mean, I know how badly he screwed up as that Hitler guy. It caused a real ruckus.
I think, though, one of the sad things to kind of come out of this is that I feel like I saw more news buzz about the interview being pulled from theatrical release than I saw about the CIA torture report, which has unfortunately, in my kind of read of news, has been already kind of relegated to second page. Which, you know, we talked about it last week. Still not a thing. There's still a lot of stuff coming out of that in smaller news cycles. But it's
oh yeah, I did have an addendum to that reporting. Fuck Dick Cheney. Yes. I don't know if you saw him on the Sunday News show.
No, I unfortunately did.
That guy is pure evil.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, he doesn't have
a heartbeat. He admitted there were innocent people and he didn't care.
Right, right. Yeah, his heart does not beat. Did you know that?
No. He's working with the machines.
So his heart is a pump, but it's not a standard kind of reciprocating pump. It circulates, but it's kind of like a rotary engine versus a piston kind of engine. So there's no heartbeat. He has zero heartbeat.
That's,
yeah. Anyway.
And he was elected vice president once.
Right.
He was vice president twice. He was elected once.
Wow. Didn't mean to end on too much of a downer. Well, we're not done, right? We have a little bit. We have a tease for the our next show, our Backtoon in review, and we talked about it last week. We know that a Backtoon is like a lot longer time scale, but I think in podcast years or podcast time, it's about a year. Yeah.
Yeah, we've totally co-opted that.
So we're going to be doing our Backtoon in review episode, not next week, but the week after. We're going to take next week off to probably eat and drink and stuff like that.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be good. But the Backtoon in review, it tends to have stuff like stuff about the show, guests we've had, kind of look back, not exactly a clip show. Or rather,
top tens list kind of thing.
Yeah, not at all a clip show. We don't do clip shows.
No, that involves editing on a scale that we are not willing to undertake.
Also,
it's a freaking podcast. Just go back and listen to the old episode.
But we will, right? Top 10 lists are going to be cool. I think I might actually try and make one this year. I know you've had your top 10 movies list. The last
step up your game, Alan.
Yeah, I gotta think of a top 10 something. I'll think of something.
I think this is now our third in review.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So it's time.
Yeah. Okay.
List it up. You got 2 weeks, man.
Right. But our teaser for the Buck Tune In review is a show that you've been watching recently.
Yes. Speaking of downer things, the television program Black Mirror, coming out of the UK. It's been blowing up all over the internet. Everyone I know seems to be watching it. Highly recommended. But make sure you've got a palate cleanser set up afterwards. Something happy to watch. Every episode I've watched so far, I've had a physical reaction of unhappiness. but it's really good. It's like a modern-day Twilight Zone with technology themes. Wow. So right up the podcast alley. Great acting, great visual style, great writing, but not for the faint of heart. Got and it's not smiles and rainbows, people. And actually, the third episode of the first season has already been optioned by Robert Downey Jr. They're going to make a movie out of it.
Oh, wow.
So you can say, when that movie comes out in however many years, oh, I watched the original episode. Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah, Black Mirror, check it out.
Cool. Well, we'll have more to check out in 2 weeks. Brennan, I will see you then. Actually, I will see you in real life ahead of then.
Yeah, I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Less than 24 hours.
Sounds good, man. I will see you tomorrow.
Until next time.